My name is Rabbi Binyamin Rahman, and welcome to Ovadia, bringing Torah education into reality. The following lecture is in memory of Nissan ben Shirin Itzchakov. May God bless him and his family and all his children. Amen. Shalom, everybody. My name is Benny Rahmanov, with my friends who see me here. I'm giving a shiur to a bunch of good friends of mine here in front of me. And we decided let's kind of record the shiur for our exhibition podcast, we're going to call it. And this podcast, we should really talk about more or less the week's parasha and what is going on in today's society and how the parasha kind of affects today's society. So as you see, we have Parshat Tetzaveh, is this week's Parsha, weekly reading in the Torah. Tetzaveh is very different than Teruma. And just to give the context of the reading, is Teruma and Tetzaveh is in reference to the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, we call it. So this tabernacle was established by Moshe Rabbeinu as God had envisioned for Moses, for Moshe Rabbeinu, where the Pasuk says that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu how it should look, and Moshe Rabbeinu would then in turn go and based on that image to Bezalel and the rest of the individuals who were given the special spiritual knowledge to understand how to make the Mishkan. Now, we gotta understand, who is Bezalel here as a character? Bezalel was 12 to 13 years old. Bezalel was 12, 13 years old. He wasn't a, we say in Russian, frastoy chilarek. He was a real person. He was a child. He was a 13 year old. Like a kid you see in the shuls learning for bar mitzvah. Zareka, you know, they're learning bar mitzvah, the ta'amim, the tunes. This person was entrusted to serve the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan meaning, at that time, which was a portable Beit HaMikdash. Now, how did he get appointed? Hashem goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Moshe, go ask the people if Bezalel, my nominee, Bezalel, is good for the people. Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, why do I have to ask the people? If God says it's good, then it should be good. Bezalel should be good. No, Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, go to the people. Ask the people. Do they want Bezalel? So Moshe goes to the people. And the people, Am Yisrael, they say, this is a kid, Bezalel. And we want this Bezalel to run and construct the Mishkan. So they go to the people. The people say, if God says it's okay, then we vote that it's okay. Very similar, you know, elections this week. So it's very interesting how the whole construction of the Mishkan had to be acknowledged by the people. It had to be defined by the people who will be the people to build the Mishkan. This is, by the way, all in Masechet Brachot. 3-4 lines, what I just said. In Gemara Brachot, they're doing Daf Yomi now, Masechet Brachot. Oh, 2-3 lines. The Chatam Sofer says, why do we have to ask Bezalel? Because the people might say, Hashem said, no, we gotta ask the people. Why? Because maybe Bezalel, they could say, he's not married. He's a young guy. What is God putting us, a child, to make the Mishkan? So Hashem says, the Chatam Sofer says, no, that was the purpose of why God sent. To tell the people, to see if anybody will acknowledge Bezalel and who he is. Now, Bezalel, you gotta understand, he's not just making anything. He is making the Mishkan. Now, what is the Mishkan? Mishkan is just a skeleton of how the construction is. But the skeleton is to house the Aron HaKodesh, which is the Ark from Raiders of the Lost Ark. For those who don't know, maybe that will help them understand. That's the Ark. Then you have the Shulchan, the table. And then from the table, you have the menorah. And then you have the Mizbeach, Hazahav, the golden Mizbeach, the golden altar. And then after the golden altar, you have the outskirt of the outer skeleton of the Mishkan. You have what we call the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, the copper Mizbeach, the copper altar. Now, when Moshe Chaim Letzato writes, don't look at the Mishkan as just a Mishkan, the tabernacle as just a tabernacle. The tabernacle is symbolic to the human body. The human body is considered a miniature world. So the tabernacle is a symbol to the human body, and the planet Earth is a symbol to the human body. The Earth itself is built like a human body. And we learned this from the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh says that the human body is embedded through the earth. The earth has its elbows, it has its hands, it has its head, it has its eyes. It has every construction of a human body. And the tabernacle's mind, the Mishkan, the mind of the Mishkan, is the menorah, is the Aron HaKodesh. Now, let's understand this. The Aron HaKodesh was broken up to three parts. Gold in the base, the inner is made out of wood, and the outer inner, which I like to call the outer inner, is gold. And then you have its lid, its cover. The actual arks, angels that were on top of it as a lid, as a cover. Now, that lid had to be 24 karat gold, and it cannot be chiseled in shape. It had to be one piece. It had to be hammered. So, Bezalel was able to do it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had to do the same thing for the menorah, which he wanted to do, he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. It couldn't be done. The menorah couldn't be done. And I always wondered, why is it the menorah Moshe Rabbeinu could not do? So I have two potential answers. The first answer is that the menorah is a representation of Torah. Not like the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh represents the mind, the human mind, the human soul. The menorah represents the arm of a person. Also the kind of the right shoulder of a person. And what happens in the Torah? Torah is representative of wisdom. Wisdom has to be one whole piece. A person cannot flip-flop. There's a rule, flip-floppers. They say one today, they say something tomorrow. Which the Gemara says people who change their mind constantly is as if they do idol worship. As if they serve another god. They're not consistent. Because their mind has to be unified. So the Aron HaKodesh is top head, unified. And the Torah, the Chokhmah of the Torah, the wisdom of the Torah, also has to be unified. One piece. And Moshe Rabbeinu is knocking it down. He can't get it. Hashem says, take the gold, throw it in the fire. The menorah comes out. Why did Hashem have to do it this way? Bezalel, you gave him enough knowledge to make the Aron HaKodesh, the top, the lid, with one piece. Moshe, you couldn't give him the understanding how to do it with one piece. So let's understand what happened. The whole context of Parshat Terumah Tetzaveh is an atonement for the Egel HaZahav. What's the Egel HaZahav? The golden calf. When Moshe Rabbeinu got the Luchot, the two tablets, what does he do? He goes down. Yahushua says, Mori Rabbi Moshe, my master Moshe, it seems like there's a war down there. Moshe says, no, it's not a war down there. There's a party down there. There's Isurim. They're doing Averot down there. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw it fully, he got angry. He lost the power to hold the menorah, the Luchot, I mean. He lost the power to hold the two tablets. He let it go, and it fell into the eagle, the golden calf. How did this golden calf appear? The woman didn't want to give their nose rings to make the golden calf. Aharon HaKohen says, and again, we're making it really short, the whole story. Aharon HaKohen goes and says, listen, bring me everything. Bring me all your gold. The woman didn't want to give the gold. The men gave the nose rings. So he's starting to melt the gold. Melting it. He's going to make a golden calf for them. His idea was to stall. What did the non-Jewish groups do? The Egyptians who used to live in Egypt, who only came to convert to Judaism because they felt that Egypt was falling apart. These peoples were the number one black magicians. They were the Chartumim. They were the Erev Rav. They were called Erev Rav. They were the evil peoples that lived in Egypt that converted not because of the belief in God and because their generations of work to get to belief in God. They converted because of what? Because of the illusion of God. They saw the miracles. They saw this illusion of God. They converted to God. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and there was a potential that, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming down, the Yetzirah, the Satan, creates an illusion of Moshe Rabbeinu dying. And since the illusion that Moshe Rabbeinu died, the illusion of their belief in God also dies. And what happens? They start doing Avodah Zarah. They say, let's make a replacement for Moshe. So they sing Aaron says, no, let's give me time. I need to make it. Give me some time. We need to prep the gold. We need to do this gold. We need to say L'shem Yehud. We need to do all the Kavanot. We need to make it. What do the Erev Rav do? The Chartumim, they say, what make? Put the gold in one melting pot. Right away, they took some Jodu. They took some black magic name, like the Zohar HaKadosh says. They threw it into the pot of gold where it's being melted, the smelter that Aharon is having. And there's a golden calf risen automatically. So comes Hashem, he says, we need to do tikkun for that action. That action, to make something above nature or beyond nature or against nature and against the will of God, to create from gold a golden calf, I have to show you to do a tikkun, to do a fixing of that action. What's the fixing? We're going to show the world that a menorah, true Torah, and true wisdom comes as one piece. And no one is the owner of wisdom. Hashem wants to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't own the Torah, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu. I own the Torah. Yes, I gave you the Torah as a gift for free, as the Gemara says. I gave you Torah for free. Give back the Torah to others. Pay it forward to others for free. Kmo she'ani b'chinam, af atem b'chinam. That's what it says in Masechet Sotah. Just like I'm for free, I gave it to you for free. Give it forward for free. And Moshe Rabbeinu was given an example. He was put in a position to now take this menorah, put it in gold, and poof, a golden menorah comes out. Now, what do you do with this golden menorah? This golden menorah is a tikkun in that aspect. Because poof, there was a golden calf. No, poof, there's going to be a golden menorah. And that golden menorah is going to be a representation of our true Torah. This is the essence of Truma Tetzaveh, where Torah is established as a unified system. Unified. There's no true owner of Torah. No one can say, oh, I know Torah better than the next guy. You might know Torah better than the next guy, but it doesn't mean you have to say you know the Torah better than the next guy. Just present your Torah to the community. Present it. You don't have to attack and bash others to get to where you to present the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bash other prophets. What happened? Just the opposite. When Yeshua came to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's two people in the what's it called, in the tent, prophesizing. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You want to fight for me? You want to fight for me? What are you fighting for me?" He says, "What, God? God is the one who gives prophecy, or I'm the one who gives prophecy? It's God who gives prophecy, not me. If they deserve prophecy, gezuntehei, Baruch Hashem. You're going to fight because now they have it? This is like a fundamental learning from the Torah. How can you get better than that?" Moshe Rabbeinu was defining. And I say to this, by the way, my shiurim on Shabbatot. Unfortunately, you can't record on Shabbatot. But I always say to people, understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time when he's arguing with God, why is he arguing with God? God came to you and said, "I'm going to make you Moses. I'm going to make you the Messiah." If God came to me and Eliyahu came to me and says, "Benny, I'm going to make you the Messiah." "Yeah, no problem, God. How much money? What's the salary?" Why is Moshe Rabbeinu arguing? No, you don't get it. God showed Moshe Rabbeinu every single generation till the time of Mashiach, including the generation that Mashiach will live. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu did? He argued with God. "God, this generation, there's this guy. This generation, there's that guy." He went to every single generation. Rabbi Akiva, Mashiach. Doesn't matter what generation you can think about. He went to every single generation. Moshe Rabbeinu said what? He said to God, "There's people better than me." So, what is it to teach you? Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person, not just in his time. He was a humble person throughout all time. He's a humble person to the extent that no one in any generation will be as humble as he is. They even say in the Mefarshim, in the commentary, off the bat, I don't remember exactly where it says it, but for sure off the bat I can tell you, probably the source is the Ben Ishchai and Datu Tuna, but off the bat, even Moshiach himself, the Messiah, future Messiah himself, will not reach the level of humbleness, anava, like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's to teach you that there's always a person who starts the project. Moshe Rabbeinu started the project of Torah. He introduced Torah, but then the Torah becomes free for everybody. And I always tell people, there is no monopoly on Torah. There's no monopoly. No monopoly. In regards to, you know, many people are always on waking up disease. Oh, coronavirus, all this. Sad that we know there's coronavirus. There's also the flu. There's many things. There's many things that go on in this world. Many freak accidents, unfortunately. Many situations. Why all of a sudden everybody wake up? Because it's an illusion. People are living in an escapism and an illusion. Where's the emunah of Hashem? For example, for me, it doesn't affect me. Because I know every morning I get up, I have to wash my hands. I have to do Netilat Yadayim, we say. You're already washing your hands the first thing as a Jew in the morning. Before you eat, Netilat Yadayim. Before you do Tefillah, Netilat Yadayim. And there's many other times you come after the bathroom, Netilat Yadayim. You do certain other activities which we can't say in a podcast, Netilat Yadayim. You touch your nose, Netilat Yadayim. You touch your ears, Netilat Yadayim. Some form has to be done. Fruits, you can't eat a fruit without washing it and drying it. The whole system of our Torah is based on surviving reality, but not surviving an illusion. There is no illusion in our religion. people are living in illusion. Recently, I always tell people, the Torah is always taught in two fashions. Actually, three fashions, and I'm going to explain the three. Torah is taught audio. That's why it's called Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah of the mouth. Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah Baal, that's the owner of the mouth. Right? Not a video, it's not a movie. Torah is not a movie, it's audio. Second, today it's become Torah, when the Mishnayot were first written, to be on paper. And of course, Torah of the Chumash, on manuscript, paper, on written word. And now you have Torah, where you're learning Chavruta one-on-one with an individual. But today, what's coming about? People are learning Torah via YouTube, via video. Since when do I got to see a person's face to learn Torah? Torah is meant for you to educate yourself. But it's not meant to be your totality of education of Torah via a video. This is not a movie. This is not binge-watching Netflix. These are not the things that you're supposed to be doing. So ultimately, what am I telling everybody? That, yeah, you can watch a video, no one's saying, but if you want to adopt a way of life, you have to search your way. You have to find your way. You see, we're human beings, and we have different souls. The Ari HaKadosh says, the 600,000 people who left Mitzrayim were 600,000 individual classification of souls. That means the Torah was given in 600,000 different ways of its interpretation to fit each soul to its proper accord. There's no one way of doing something. There is today sections of ways, but there's for sure this halakha is ultimately all one way, law, the Judaic law. But how to live life based on an outlook, or what people say, hashkafa, there's no one way. There is never a way. Because the first hashkafa, first outlook, is fulfilling the law. You fulfill the mitzvah. You fulfill the commandment. You fulfill the rules how to do nitilat lulav, shaking the lulav. How to worship God on Shabbat. You do these rules. There's no one way or no other way. So ultimately, we learn here that in this week's parasha, Terumat Tetzaveh, not only are we building the Mishkan, we're ultimately building our own internal Mishkan in our hearts. That's what we're ultimately doing. A lot of what we said right now was very macro, so I want every listener to really understand. This is a very macro sense of understanding. We're not going micro now. Micro is individually. That's where everybody makes a mistake. They take macro ideas and apply to people's micro life. It's not possible. You can't take something that's macro and make it micro. You can go from macro to micro, then micro to macro, but you can't make a macro idea a micro idea. So if I have a general idea, I can't apply it to Mr. Abraham in some streets in his personal life based on this macro idea. No, you got to actually sit with that guy, understand what his situation is, and then get to the microcosmic situation, micro, you know, situations of his issues, and then find the micro instances in our Torah to help guide him in a better life. So for example, if a person's not wearing tefillin, and now he's seeing he has no bracha, no blessing in his house, wear tefillin. Why should a person go and search anywhere else but his own physical actions? For example, if a person, God forbid, will get sick with coronavirus, what do? You call the doctor, doctor comes to the house. But everybody has their own virus, more or less, and they're not curing it. That is a spiritual virus. And they're not doing that. So I leave off with that message, that people's really got to wake up and try to get to the full understanding of themselves. Do a diagnosis of yourself. Where are you at? Why are you out there? And see, if I am at here now, this position, and I am at that type of situation, what are you doing to be? Are you doing A, B, C? If you're doing A, B, C and you're in this position, then you got to figure out what you need to change, where you need to change, whom you need to change to hang out with. If you're hanging out with a certain group of people and this is the line of where you're living, of course it's going to be that way. I always tell people, okay, you made $1 million, $2 million. What do? You start spending the money. I get a Lexus or you get a Maserati. You start getting all these things. You're driving off the boardwalk in Florida and Collins Avenue, whatever it is. What do you think you're going to attract? You're obviously going to attract other peoples who are staring at you. And who are those peoples? They're not peoples of good behavior. They're peoples who want to party all the time. So you're creating a magnetization to attract those type of people. But if God gave you $1 million, $2 million, and you become humble, and you're humbled with that responsibility, then what type of people got to, what type of people will you then attract? Then you'll attract the better people. So it's not about, per se, what you're doing, what you're not doing. It's the question is what you're not doing specific to your micro life situation. And that takes a lot of time in life to figure out. And you have the rabbis are meant there and the spiritual leaders are meant there to guide you to reach that level. And that's ultimately what the tabernacle is trying to tell us. The construction of this tabernacle is to say, everybody, wait, relax. Remember, there's a center for everything. I wish everybody happiness and blessing, and I hope this podcast seems well for you and gives you a better guidance and enlightenment. And I'm glad to share this information with you. Be well. Have a nice week. Purim Sameach. Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, fascinated, I'm moving fast, oh.